Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another fabulous edition of Coffee Conversations with Cinti. We're always trying to switch up our program, and today I'm so excited to be at Suzuki South Africa head office. Ladies and gentlemen, across the table from me is Shal Grobler. He is the head of marketing for Suzuki South Africa. Shal, welcome to the program.
Yes, Cinti, thank you so much for having us. It's exciting and exciting era, I think, in what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, speaking of exciting, you've been winning consumer-based awards year in and year out. Can you walk me through those awards?
Yes, yeah, so at the beginning of last year, we won the Cars.co.za Brand of the Year.
All right.
Which is a great competition because it actually takes into consideration 100% of consumers, so people who bought the car,
okay,
get surveyed and asked about their experience when they bought a new car, as well as when they service their vehicle. So the whole ownership experience, and we came out up top. So it's the third. This year is the third year that they're running it, and we took it last year, and we were awarded the same award this year again.
All right, and. How big an influence is influencer marketing, you think, in that whole process?
So in that process, what we have found, and this is something that's really special, is that people really love their Suzukis.
All right.
So we did some research on the topic, and we found that, you know, just the way that our customers attach themselves to the Suzuki brand,
yeah,
has given us massive opportunities to further leverage that. And
okay,
one of the big sort of stumbling blocks for us as a brand is that people don't really have much of a story to tell. They don't really associate themselves with the Suzuki brand as such.
Right.
But we found that we have many amazing customers who support the brand and decided to go the Suzuki route a long time ago when they were considering which brand of vehicle to buy.
Yeah.
And since then, they've become ambassadors and advocates for the Suzuki brand. So for us, in terms of the influencer space, it was a very easy decision to make and to get these people on board and kind of streamline their stories that they tell.
Okay. They are already using the product, they love it, and they are talking about it in their communities, isn't it? So all you need to do as a brand is just to plug in the...
Yes, absolutely. And so we got a few of them together and kind of gave them an extra level of brainwashing about the Suzuki brand.
Oh,
and
right,
told them
obviously product knowledge to the T is very important.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So they know the brand, but we took it a little bit further.
Yeah.
And taught them a little bit more about what our messaging is. And then just gave them the opportunity to tell their story. So
okay,
that's what it is to us, is like having someone who's already a brand fighter or an ambassador for the brand, kind of streamlining their messaging and helping us as Suzuki to further build that brand strength.
Right.
You know, Suzuki is still a very much a niche brand in the market. So
yes,
we're trying hard to sell more cars,
right,
and it's going well. But it is still a small group of people, and they're really happy. So for us to bring them on board and ask them to tell our story on their behalf is worked really well for us.
All right. How important is it? Or maybe let me take it down further. How did you get into the process of getting into influencer marketing? Are you using an external person, or it's all done in house?
We have a few ambassadors as such that we kind of sponsor vehicles to. So
all right,
and it's only sort of in one or two places, and one of them is Mrs. South Africa. But what we tied up with the Salt, and they have a massive database, and you know, it was actually very easy for us to find Suzuki owners that are keen to get on board and to take this message further.
All right.
It was also a very nice campaign, because it was, instead of just having some weird branding on the side of your car,
yeah,
these people actually invested their own money, so it
right,
makes sense. So we branded the side of their cars with Brand of the Year, and that was a strong part of the campaign was to tell people about us winning Brand of the Year. But because it was already a Suzuki, it was such a it's such a nice fit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked well for us.
All right. You being a marketer obviously have a whole arsenal of marketing strategies to work with. How are you integrating influencer marketing into the whole marketing mix?
So influencer marketing, I mean, I think, you know, digital is such a strong part of our focus.
Yeah.
Not necessarily
your target market is mostly your millennials and a bit of us.
Well, not really. Not really, actually. Yeah. So, I mean, we want to be... I mean, Suzuki is a fun and lively brand.
All right.
But we do appeal to a wide range of consumers.
Okay.
We have a wide model lineup as well. So, you know, everything from someone who's buying their first car to someone who's buying a big four-wheel drive vehicle. So it is quite an extensive split in terms of demographics.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, in terms of the message, we do aim more at a millennial market.
All right.
And so the digital space is an area that we are putting more and more resources in. So not necessarily budget, but in terms of the hours in creating content for the digital space and optimizing that message.
Yes.
Digital is a strong part of our message. So and then obviously social, we tied in very nicely with a strong Facebook and Instagram campaign around these influencers and the message that they put out to their sort of micro audiences.
Doesn't it scare you to give up a bit of brand control to the market or to your micro influencers?
It does. it is scary. It's a very good question. But I think as marketers, we need to be a little bit more liberal about this. And so consumers are more willing to interact with something that's a lot more original or organic than trying to force the fact that your car is more awesome than the next one down someone's throat.
Yeah.
Telling a cool story about the ownership experience is better than saying, well, the car has ABS, airbags, central locking and air conditioning.
Yes.
People are sick of those kinds of message.
Yes.
Messaging and we often lose sight of that, is that people are emotional beings. So you don't necessarily buy just because of the hard and fast facts and gizmos that the cars feature, but it's about how you associate and how the car makes you feel and the crowd of people that fits into. So giving the consumer that freedom to make their own decisions about how they want to portray the brand has helped us very nicely. I think it's a more genuine from the heart message.
Yeah.
And we're that kind of brand. I mean, you know, we don't take ourselves too seriously. So if you want to be a little bit outside of the norm, then we do allow that. It's more true.
Yeah. I love your strip line, Suzuki, Way of Life.
Yeah.
Can you quickly take me through this? So it's very emotive.
It is very emotive.
It's
actually a very tricky tricky tagline, because we've spoken about it at length for so many times. So
yeah.
So that, and it's difficult. It's very difficult to sum up. But what it does mean is that each person's way of life is completely different. So my way of life might be completely different to yours, but the car still allows you to experience that way of life.
Yeah.
So whether you know zipping around town in the new Suzuki Ignis or climbing a mountain with your Jimny, that's your way of life. So if you're into surfing or if you're into 4x4ing.
Yeah.
A vehicle, and remember, so we also have the motorcycles and we have the outboard engines.
Yeah.
That's also part of this way of life brand. So
it's
all about Suzuki enabling you to be mobile and to say what you feel. What your message is. Yeah,
that's quite interesting, because what you're saying is the car fits into my lifestyle.
Yes.
Would you say a car is an emotional buy?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So again, it goes back to, you know, there's fast facts and kilowatt and safety features and, but at the end of the day, if a car doesn't look cool, and if you can't associate with the way it looks, that's a completely emotional buy.
Yes.
There are still many rational reasons to buy a vehicle, because this one is might be slightly cheaper or more economical to run, or it might have a longer warranty and all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
But actually, it's all about the way the car makes you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
Unless you're buying for a big fleet and it's only the, you know, the rands and cents. But the general consumer, the way the car makes you feel is a big deal.
Yeah. So would you say that emotional aspect of the purchase helps your micro-influencers, for want of a better word, influence more?
Yes, absolutely.
Because people in their communities are seeing how your cars make them feel.
Absolutely.
Obviously with the bandwagon effect, and everybody says, I also want to have.
Absolutely. And that's part of, again, back to telling those stories about what made your purchase, or the fact that you own this car, what's your personal connection to it? And that is much more organic and much more from the heart than trying to work so hard at sending a message about the fact that your car has a 50-liter bigger boot. What's 50 liters? How can you explain to someone what a 50-liter bigger boot is?
Yeah, but if I put in a sack of potatoes, then my neighbor is like, that's what you meant.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, it's all about that kind of angle.
All right, and also, I guess the biggest thing for me is when people are having authentic conversations on a brand, it's more believable than when I see a billboard. It's still the automotive industry is very tricky. There's new entrants every other month. The segment is quite congested and everybody has got something newer coming on. How are you able to stay above that ladder with specifically the use of conversations around the people that are already using your product?
So it's a difficult one, and I don't think we've cracked it just yet. But it is, right. I think, so we are a smaller brand, and we operate with smaller budgets than many of the big five in the industry.
All right.
But definitely in an online space, in the digital environment, it's a much more level playing field.
All right.
If you optimize that and you tell stories in the right way, and you're not always trying to sell a car to someone, then that's a much more level playing field, and it allows us to break through the clutter a little bit and target messaging to specific audiences.
Yeah.
So, you know, on a billboard, billboards and television and conventional media, print even, there's still lots of room for that, and that should still be a very key part of your marketing message. But I just feel that in a digital space, we're able to send specific messages to specific audiences.
All right.
And compete on a level playing field, a somewhat level playing field.
With the bigger boys.
With the big boys.
All right. And comparatively, where would you say you would get more value from, macro influencer or a micro influencer?
I think it's a fair split down the line. I think I think they both have their specific space.
All right.
I think that the micro influencers are it's a growing channel because there's so much clutter out there, and because there's so much artificial messaging around selling you something. Having someone tell their own story about their own experience is definitely getting more and more value. I mean, that's why you can read reviews online and watch videos of what people say about things.
All right.
So that people's own experiences, rather than it coming from a brand, is definitely growing. But in terms of resources and allocation, you know, the conventional stuff will still be, I think, leading the charge. But it is about filling those gaps in your messaging. So you need to be consistent, and you need to be create as many touch points for consumers as possible.
Also, believability compared to your celebrity endorsers.
So obviously, if the believability factor is huge, and if someone, you know, paid 250,000 rand for their own vehicle that they drive and they pay, then obviously that message is a stronger one than coming from someone that
and
you
paid. And the authenticity bit is important, because you can't say to me you love Suzuki, you live and breathe Suzuki, then I see you driving something else. You've lost me there.
Absolutely. So, I mean, of course, my wife has a Suzuki, my mother has a Suzuki, my dad has a Suzuki.
Are you the micro-influencer in that community?
Yes.
All right.
And what's great is that they're happy with it.
Yeah.
So it would have been really bad if you're that guy and you sell a car to a friend or a family member, or they decide to buy a car.
Yeah.
And, you know, the car gives them problems, or they can't get parts for it, or they can't service it, or it's expensive, or you know, that doesn't make it easy. But a bunch of my friends are proud Suzuki owners, so the brand really is something special.
All right, thank you so much Shaw for joining us, and I hope to see you again, ladies and gentlemen. Shaw from Lund.
Thank you very much, Cindy. I'm looking forward to chatting to you again.
All right, you can find us on, well, basically everywhere online. Please download our sessions and give us feedback as well. You can get us on iTunes, you can get us on SoundCloud, you can get us everywhere else online if you look for us. But thank you for your support, and Charles, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.